Welcome to Behind the Buttons, our show where we recap the week and brainstorm the future of Two Buns Deep, the fastest growing media company in upstate New York. I'm Joe Bonilla, joined by Captain Jack and the Buttonista. We are coming to you live on location from the top of the beautiful Kenmore Hotel building, right in downtown Albany, where we are sipping on some day chasers while overlooking the beautiful city of Albany and pondering the future of Central Warehouse. Today's episode is brought to you by the third annual Capital Region Adult Spelling Bee. It's not too late to sign up to compete in the Spelling Bee on Tuesday, August 30th in downtown Albany. The winner will receive over $300 from two CrossGates, along with his championship belt, which is not on me, but they'll receive a belt. All proceeds from the event will benefit the United Way of the Greater Capital Region Emerging Leaders Program. Jack and his mom will be hosting, and we have Back Nine Bry, who will be a contestant. Jack Taylor. We got the belt.
Do we think Back Nine Bry is going to go home with this championship
Holy
belt?
Holy moly, what is this? We got some big...
Come show it off.
Look at that.
Wow.
Drew's modeling this off. You can't see it, but you'll
throw
see
it. Throw it on, Drew. Throw it on.
There you go.
Wow.
The champ is here.
Look at this.
With a bee on it.
Wow.
And
this
there's
is,
enough bees on this
This
roof.
Looks like a, wrestling... Ultimate
Holy God.
Brown or black and gold belt. This is the real deal, Holyfield. And I don't even know what you do with this. If you win a trophy, you put it on your shelf.
You have to carry with you all day.
Do you just use this as a belt from here on out?
Yeah, that's it.
This is impressive. This is unlike any other prize offered locally in the Capital Region. So there's only one way to get it. You got to win the bee. It's competitive. It's a legitimate spelling bee. And we usually almost run out of words. So hopefully they stocked up this year, and we're going to see how it goes August 30th.
Starts at 5 o'clock. If you want to compete, it's $30. It's only 30 spots in the Hive. And if you just want to show up and support the United Way, it's $10, folks. $10 for a great cause. We always start off with peak of the week, and we're going to start off with Jack.
My peak of the week, I was at the Altamont Fair.
The Altamont Fair.
And I saw pig races. Which was the cutest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Do they actually race? Like, they run on the track?
Yeah, if we posted it, they jump into the water, they swim, which I call the hogwash, and then they just bolted around. They looked like little cute fat puppies.
Look at that.
And if they could make that a thing along with horse racing, that's something I would patronize for sure.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want a pig as a pet?
I would try it.
Really?
If I had the right accommodations for it, not one-bedroom apartment in downtown
apartment.
Albany, but if I had like a one-barn situation, perhaps.
I mean, Arnold from Hey Arnold had a pet, Abner.
There you go.
Yeah.
Never forget. I loved Hey Arnold. I actually saw June Farms posted their pigs today, which are iconic pigs. It was like the most beautiful picture of a pig you've ever seen. And people don't like that word, the term. They don't like the animal. They think they're dirty. And Matt from June Farms always says that pigs are actually the cleanest of the farm animals because they don't shit where they sleep, where a horse will just drop and go and do their thing. And we know I stepped in horse shit a few weeks ago at the track, acting like a big shot, just not paying attention too fast, too quick. Had to keep it moving. No big deal.
She did in front of a whole crowd. We were in the paddock.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
Which is where the owners get to go. Yep. Taylor's dad got us passes. And then we just like beelined it where the horses were moving. We just acted like we were part of it. But You know, there's crowds on both sides.
Right.
It's like a parade. And, with that many eyeballs on you, you're not really looking down. So Taylor stepped right in shit, and everyone started screaming.
Oh,
and everyone was just like, oh, I hope it wasn't me.
Yeah.
As you're just prancing down. But it was Taylor.
Yep, it was me.
Look at you.
Yep.
Taylor, your peak.
Peak of the week. Well, first things first, I secured a fantastic outfit for Saturday's Travers
Look
celebrations, which it's always down to the wire. Our one live-ish studio audience guest, Jenna, is making an appearance in Saratoga.
Ooh.
So that's an early peak of the week for me. But the outfit being secured takes a lot off my plate. And I had one more, but I forgot it.
Okay. I'll also be at Travers this Saturday.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Do you have any situation planned or no?
No, nothing.
See, that's the thing. I'm kind of feeling like a loser. Like, I feel like I needed to get it together, get a table.
No.
But you know what? As long as you have your day chaser,
you're good to
your
go.
Cooler, and somewhat decent company, Jenna's words were, I'm just going to go to Saratoga and let the day take me.
That's the best way of
being. I'm going to let the day take me this week as well. Damn it. I did have one. Oh, I know what my peak was. Hashtag no free ads. But I went to Hamlin and Ghost last night in Saratoga. It's hard to get in there. Hard to get a reservation. This is my outcry to everybody. Go to restaurants in the summer and eat the fucking vegetables. Because all the shit was just like seasonal, like cute, like heirloom cucumbers. And it was the best thing I've ever had. And I'm like, in 6 months, you're not going to be able to get that kind of like fresh dining experience. Sure. So I was so happy that I was there. I like to share stuff. Jack's a big splitter at the dinner table. And that's the perfect place to go. And I just felt like, wow, you know what? Not a place I usually go, but I felt like I accomplished something by going there, which is eating good summer vegetables by someone that would prepare them better than me.
I love it. So we're getting right into the agenda for this show. Undercover Buttonista was this past week debuted. You did a ride along with the Saratoga Springs Police Department.
I did.
You know, I don't think that many people watched it. It was pretty low.
No.
It was.
It's been really boring.
It's been
two weeks.
Yeah, it's been very quiet. Yeah.
What a whirlwind.
Yeah, you want to set this up? Or?
Yeah. I mean, we did a shoot to continue on our series Undercover Buttonista, where you do jobs that we don't do. And, you know, the police had reached out to us because they have an issue of they're at about 10% of applicants that they usually get for whatever reason. And we thought, hey, maybe we can showcase what it's like and, you know, encourage some of our followers to consider that career path. And going into it, when we talked about it on this show, we were like, people will probably be mad that we're doing this.
Or very mad.
Yeah. Or very mad. Yeah. But Taylor set a point from the get that I think stuck true, is that because we released it and we did receive a fair amount of backlash, but I don't think anybody who was hating on us didn't already hate us. And I don't think many people who hated on us even followed us. Like you said, they kind of came from their corner of the internet and said what they wanted to say. And I get their purpose. I get why they're mad. I read some of the things that people sent to us. But I just kind of think they missed the point of what we were doing. I don't think it was a total endorsement of police and supporting everything they do, but rather just doing the little bit we could to perhaps improve the police department and get better people into that situation, which I truly believe is the solution. I don't think abolishing the police is going to help anything. Like, if you think the world will be better off without a police presence, I think you're delusional. It would be chaotic. So there's obviously issues, and I think reform needs to happen, but I also just think at the root, we need better people in there. So that's why we decided to showcase the night. But I don't think people want to have a conversation about it. They literally just want to say what they want to say to us, get across what they want to get across.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to make the system better, participate, right? Anybody in the public can do a ride along. Anybody could enter civil service to improve the situation. But, you know, what the comments told me was that there's a lot more bullies out there and people just filled with so much hate in their heart that probably didn't even watch the video, took what they saw on the surface and ran with it. It obviously turns into personal attacks against me and Jack and our beliefs, which we've never made public, but they think by doing simple things is our actions and our words and all of that out loud at once. So it is what it is. I mean, we're not going to stop what we're doing. I personally had a great time doing the video. I thought it was great. I was comfortable going into it in the first place because Saratoga is my community. I live there. So as a resident, I think it's interesting, just like you're exploring things as an Albany resident, to see what it's like. Caroline Street is a huge priority for them in the summer to keep safe and keep the peace. And it's not a crazy crime-ridden town in a lot of ways. And yes, of course, they've had their issues, but I would like to see what goes on in my community on a normal night. And God forbid, you know, I got hurt or in an accident or got hit by a car or whatever. Like, I would need them to show up no matter who you are, no matter what they do. And they made that very evident that they're there to keep the peace, really. Like, if you don't fuck up, you're not going to see us. It's like any parent out there, don't fuck up and I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to do this. Like, they're just there to preserve and do their jobs. And the funny part is 85% of their job is like any normal job. They do paperwork. They have a break room. They eat snacks. They, you know, request PTO. Like, you know, it's maybe 20% action and 80%, you know, normal daily job tasks. So there's so much that goes into it, so much outside of that video. But you know, it is what it is. Haters are, you don't want to say haters are my motivators, but we like a good controversy every now and again. And, you know, now the haters know we're still here and we know they're still there.
This wasn't our first rodeo.
No, of course not.
We've had this type of reaction before, but we got two new guys on the team, and it was kind of their first time coming through this, seeing it. I was just kind of happy it wasn't me this time.
Right.
I think the last time this happened, it was when I went to spoof Trump supporters at January 6th, and, of course, people just framed it as me going there to support it.
Right.
But, you know, I want your guys' perspective. We got Jonah and Drew here.
Drew, why don't you go first?
You guys kind of watched us go through this. You're part of the company. I'm sure people reached out to you. What's your perspective?
Sure. So, first off, when I came through when we did the Behind the Buttons last, that Skinny Pancake, and I saw the video for the first time, and I was hella surprised. I was like, Taylor, you did a ride-along? Like, I didn't know that anybody could just do a ride-along. You know what I mean? So I learned that day that literally anybody can just go and get a ride-along. Because I thought, I was like, oh, it's just two buttons kind of using their, you know, like, clout to get some. You know what I mean? But no, anybody could just do a ride-along. So that's knowledge number one. Because I saw a lot of comments like, oh, they're just using their clout and whatever, white privilege and all that type of stuff. It's like, anybody can go and do a ride-along. So that already negates all of those things. And to be honest, I thought it was hella corny because, like, to the world wants peace and everything, but everybody wants to group everybody as one thing. If somebody did something in another area that has nothing to do with this person, like, I'm Hispanic, so, like, if a Hispanic person does something in Wisconsin, why should that Hispanic person reflect on me? You know what I mean? So I think that goes for any race, job, gender, anything. Like, people just group everybody into the same person. So it's just funny because I bet you even those cops don't even know any other cops other than the area that they're in. So it's just, I thought it was really corny of everybody just coming at you and stuff like that. So I'm waiting for my hate to come towards me.
You know what I mean?
I know it will come.
Lest you forget, it will come.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I thought it was funny. A lot of people hit me up, like, asking about the whole cop situation. And it's like you stated, they don't even know the backstory. Like, the police hit you guys up. So, like, a lot of the comments that were said and always, like, when people always got shit to say, it's they don't even know the situation. So, like, my mom always told me, if it's not my business, like, mind your business. Like, nobody even knew the logistics behind the scenes, after, during, like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny watching it all unfold. That's why I hit you up. Like, yo, I got your back, Taylor, because I thought that was corny. Like, I like cops. Shit, it, like, something's going on. Like, I'm going to call the cops. That's what I don't, like. If I can't handle it myself, you know, obviously I'll do that. But, like, I'm pretty sure all the people that commented on that, they look like they would call the cops if they needed the cops.
That
so,
was
like,
my,
yeah.
I just think it's corny how people hate on the cops. But, like, when you need them, there's going to be, like, 10 years down the line because nobody's applying to be a cop no more. Shit's probably going to be chaotic down the line. Because people are going to know there's not that many cops out there anymore, so you can get away with more shit. So, like,
that was my takeaway. I almost shared it to my story just to, like, say I was proud that we did it. I thought it was a good piece. And, yeah, 99% of the people who were coming at us have, A, benefited from police protection their entire life, whether they know it or not, and, B, would be calling the police first thing when they need them.
Yep,
I understand there's flaws within pretty much every department. I believe there needs to be change, but this, I think, was the least we could do to help get people in the right direction.
You know what's great, though, is that, you know, that championship belt that we just had? I think Instagram is actually going to send all of those haters with the wittiest comments their own championship belt to say, congratulations, good for you, because the amount of effort and thought that went into these comments trying to be funny and witty and punny and cute. I'm like, you want a fucking award, don't you? Like, you want to be two buttons deep. You wish that you could get a platform for all of your fucking cute, corny,
for sure,
quirky little things, just how hard people were just twisting words and boot looking. Oh, as a fashionista, did the black boot or the orange boot taste better? What did you like, sweetie? Which one did you like?
I didn't even get that joke at first.
I didn't know what that meant.
I mean, people are, yeah. Lookers, yeah.
What does that mean? You're a suck up?
It's like you police, you yeah. support
authoritarian figures and things like that.
Shouldn't everybody, like, if respect your elder situation, like,
no,
shouldn't you?
No, that's a serious, like, that's the thing, like, you would choose the police over everybody. And that's not what we were trying to get across. And people are using these legitimate terms and insults that should be reserved for legitimate problematic people and just doing it to us because we did one video in 6 years with the police and now we're all racist bootlickers. And that's just, but the takeaway, and I think about this with every time this happens, 3,000 people liked that post. And if this was a live show,
yep,
we had 3,000 people in the audience cheering and probably 200 booing. You wouldn't hear those 200 people booing. So that's the problem with social media. It's very accessible to see the hate and ignore the likes. But you got to realize the ratio of people had our back. They have their heads on straight. I'm proud we did that piece, and I hope we can get a couple good souls into law enforcement. That was the goal, and we stuck with it.
Jonah?
Yeah, so you know, just like Taylor, Thursday night comes around, post goes live. I don't think anything of it. And Friday morning, you know, is really when I was able to sink my teeth in this situation. And I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. I'm a producer for Two Buttons Deep. So you don't see me in front of the camera. You know, I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. So people who know me reach out and they say, hey, Jonah, what's the deal with the Two Buttons Deep and the police? And, you know, I had one question for anybody who reached out to me, and that was, do you agree with everything that your company does? And that shut them right up. You know, one reason why I love Two Buttons Deep is because you're never going to know where we stand on something. And like the Buttonista, I don't really share my political beliefs. I don't go out and I don't have signs on my front door or my lawn. And, you know, why would I do anything different on social media? So I stand by it. I support it. I'm proud that we did it. And I'm ready for whatever's next. And I understand that every undercover Buttonista episode we do, we want to one-up the last one, so.
That's going to be tough.
Here we go.
I think Firefighter would be good. Putting out a live fire.
Yeah, we're not gonna curate content based on, you know, we do stuff that we think is entertaining. I think that's kind of our moral compass is, like, is there entertainment value? Can people get something out of it, whether to love or to hate? But the thing that you mentioned off camera is, like, there were some comments that did get me down, and I'm like, going into the weekend, I'm doing, like, public things. I'm like, should I fear for, like, my safety at all? And I'm like, no, Taylor, like, you're not that big of a deal. Like, get over it. Like, no one's going to come up to you and confront you. And, like, that's the thing. I'm not a confrontational person. So that would really, like, kind of, like that would totally catch me off guard if somebody did. But I did wonder, I'm like, should I be worried that someone is actually, like, really that mad? And, like, or is it just keyboard warrior, like, I hate you on Instagram? Because I have been in the room and at events with people that I know hate me, and there's nothing that comes of it. But you do have that fear. And I'm like, I don't want to be scared that I did something. It's not like I said something. I didn't treat somebody poorly. I didn't get caught doing something really bad, viral. Like, that's the kind of shit I feel like you get shamed for in public, not what we did. So I was at Bill Burrett's back, so I actually felt really safe this weekend because there's no way any of my haters were at Bill Burrett's back.
No phones were allowed, so they couldn't type anything mean.
That's true,
and they would never say anything to me in person if they were there. So.
I had not had an in-person confrontation until yesterday.
Really?
Yep.
Where was that?
I'm at the bar, not saying where.
Okay.
And I'm at a bar, not saying where.
Okay.
Ooh.
At a bar. Girl sits next to me with her boyfriend. They walk in, sit next to me. I'm just overwhelmed with cigarette smell. They clearly just ripped a fucking pack outside. Probably mid-40s. And she looks at my phone. She's like, Two Buttons Deep? And I'm like, I can just hear it in her tone. I'm like, yeah. She's like, you like them? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, do you know them? And I'm like, yeah, I know a few of them. She's like, oh. Next thing I know, she's sitting right next to me. We are arm to arm at a bar. She starts taking photos of me and my phone. And I notice it. She's trying to be sneaky, but I just look at her. I go, did you get a good shot?
That's what you got to do.
And she gets all embarrassed. A couple minutes go by. I look back at her. She's posting the photo to Facebook.
That's a first red flag. Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, I said mid-40s. My gut reaction, I whip out my phone. Because I can't read what she's typing, yeah. So I zoom in. And it's like, the guy next to me at the bar likes that misogynistic buttons deep so much, he has the sticker plastered all over his phone. And so I just act like I'm videotaping her to, like, throw her on the spot because she has, I don't know, she's hammered. She had no idea I was looking over her shoulder. So I get
mid-40s. She didn't have her readers on.
Or a bad 37.
So I zoom in, and then I just throw the phone right in her face. I go, what do you have to say to Two Buttons Deep? She's like, are you with Two Buttons Deep? I'm like, I am Two Buttons Deep. And she's like, oh, you guys are a bunch of fucking misogynistics. And I'm like, all right, why? And she... And I'm like racking through my brain. What is this girl so upset about? And she's like, you guys support Dave Portnoy. And I'm like, where did this come from?
Right, right.
Where did this come from? She's like, he's a rapist and you guys support him. I'm like, what have we ever done to support him? She's like, you posted his pizza review in Troy. We're going down a weird way. And then she goes, also, you guys, the thing you do with Chevy Chase when you said tits or ass. And I was like, okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. She's like, women are real people. We've come a long way since 2022. And I'm like, do you know why Chevy Chase was fired from SNL? And she was like, no. And I'm like, he literally told a woman she would be better off on her knees than a writer for SNL. And he got fired. Amongst other major misogynistic issues. He's the king of misogyny.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's an icon. I'm like, you're literally standing up for somebody that you're accusing us of being problematic for.
What was I going to say about that? The last thing that I do just want to say is back to the police video. Last thing. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it's funny that you're the hero this week and I'm the villain, because that's what it is, right? We're going to get into
first
some stuff about
everything.
Jack, where he's the hero. But the last thing I want to say about the police video, because we didn't touch on this, or I didn't in my podcast, is that the climax of the video is this woman getting arrested, right? We had a great time, by the way. We totally enjoyed the ride along. It was thrilling. It was exciting. Like, we got what we wanted within the first 30 minutes, but we hung on. We stayed on Caroline Street. They all start putting their gloves on, like something's brewing, something's going to happen. The woman that they arrested that we got on camera had a bench warrant. She skipped court. Mm-hmm. 6 previous felonies, had gotten a DWI 2 weeks prior because of bail reform, has never spent a day in jail. And they got that person off the streets who had guns, heroin, this, that, and the other thing. And people wonder why the police are out. That lady shouldn't be at the bars.
She literally had heroin and a knife on her. And people are like, how are you documenting her during her worst moment?
She's
like,
a convicted felon.
Not her worst moment.
She said 6 felonies. If I was out just normally on Caroline Street, I would be drinking next to her at the bar.
Right, right.
And whatever. That's all.
But the fact that she broke the glass...
That was remarkable.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, not enough people were focusing on how crazy that was.
If
with
I
her
caught
bare
that,
feet, right?
I was,
yes, her bare feet.
My camera was on Taylor, but if I caught that, her foot going through a cop car's window.
Oh, my. I wish you did.
That would have been viral.
It.
I know.
That's hard glass.
They
Can
said
you
that was,
imagine?
That was the first time someone has ever broken through. And it was like a 20-year-old girl.
It looked like stage glass.
And she had to go to the hospital. She sliced herself up from it. So
yeah,
it was intense.
So at the end of the day, that person should not be out on the streets anyway. It's not like we caught somebody in a drunk bar fight that it's like, hey, go easy on the guy or whatever. It's his bachelor party. Like, no, this was a legit bad person, which exists everywhere in every community, and otherwise probably would have driven home drunk. And so there's so many other things that go into the whole thing. But the fact that that was something that we got to experience was kind of overshadowed by the negativity, which, you know, maybe we only slightly predicted, but still. Wild.
So wild. Speaking of wild, over the last few weeks, we've had this central warehouse saga. Started with a phone call, then apparently it led to you actually seeing Evan Blum.
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 Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Every local media outlet has called him Blum. I entered central warehouse behind me in November.
That's right.
I did a whole great investigative report about it, about the structure, about where it's come from, where we hope it goes. All I want is for something good to happen to this building. But the first time I did the video, I had this great line. It said, Blum is being a bum. And I went with it, and then I watched local media, and I was like, shit, it's Blum.
Yeah.
And I had to redo the whole script, and then I did Blum, can't read the room, which was good. But I wanted it to be Blum.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know, I change it in my mind, finally get through it in my head. And then I get there and I feel like an idiot, kick off the interview. I'm like, all right, Evan Blum. And he's like, it's Blum. And I'm like, oh my God.
So you took it.
So yeah, we called him two weeks ago and I said, do you want to do an interview on air on this show? And he said yes. And then Jonah followed up and he was game. He did not want to come up here because allegedly he can't enter his own building, allegedly.
Yeah.
And so he invited us to his other warehouse. For those who don't know him, he is a very eclectic and quirky architectural salvager. Meaning he takes old buildings, old facades off this outside of the building and like meticulously restores them and then sells them to somewhere else in the world. And he's pretty notable. He said at one point, allegedly, his family was the biggest real estate family in America. So I think he's kind of like the tail end of a dynasty. Okay. And he's clearly wealthy. He owns mega warehouses. He says 5 or 6.
Yep.
I'm not sure how you don't have a definitive number of warehouses, but Evan Blum does.
That's a challenge.
And I think what he's trying to create here is his lasting legacy. And I don't think his vision gets across because he faces a lot of scrutiny here locally in the media for good reason. He's had this building for 5 years and essentially, visually, to the naked eye, nothing has happened. And I went down there to kind of get his side of the story. And again, just with the sole purpose of moving this building forward. All I want is a rooftop bar. That also happened on this show. Went after some local reporter, Jesse,
right,
about the fact he wants it down. I think this building is here for good, though, and I want that rooftop bar. So I'm just trying to nudge him and get his side of the story because people here don't know it. And it was very interesting. The interview is going to be out Friday night, and he's high level. His goal is to essentially turn the warehouse into a new Mass Mocha or Art Omi type thing,
okay,
with mass large displays featuring hundreds of artists from around the world. And I went there with a chip on my shoulder as an Albany resident because I was viewing it like, how is this going to benefit Albany? How is this going to benefit me? You know, when's the rooftop bar going to open? But his vision, and the issue here is I don't know if he's full of shit or not, but he appears to run with the top tier people in the world. He knew Mary Lou Whitney here locally. He was dropping names I didn't know. I wish Taylor was here just because he was.
Didn't he drop Jeffrey
Epstein? He dropped the ultimate name.
He knew
Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine. And I had to swallow that in real time and not make a joke because, I'm sure Jeffrey Epstein did live a normal life otherwise that people like Evan Blum probably didn't know him as everybody else knows. So I let that one slide. But he ran with that group, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's trying to appeal to those type of people and draw them to Albany with this project, which if it's successful, if he can really convert that into museums and art galleries with restaurants on the roof and everything, especially a rooftop bar, it would remarkably change the city because it would turn it into a destination. It wouldn't be an asset or apartments or just something for Albany to have. It would be something for Albany to be and a reason for people to come here. And again, I can't get a read on if he has the materials and the capabilities of doing this. I think he's a little past his prime. He's probably mid-60s, pushing 70. And for that, I don't think he has the respect or the immediate resources that he needs to do it. In terms of the timeline, because everyone's first reaction is, well, it's been 5 years. Why hasn't he done anything? It checks out. He bought the building in 2017. Then he said immediately after that, he spent about a year talking to engineers and designers, allegedly, about what to do. And then he said his dad got sick, and his dad was, quote unquote, a national treasure. And as his only son, he took care of him till his death. As he died, we looked it up, died right after the pandemic started in 2020. And then the pandemic happened, and he was self-funding this project. And as a non-essential business, it was shut down. So when I heard that panned out, I'm like, okay, I can see why he wasn't, you know, having trucks coming in and workers going, because a lot of shit shut down and it got put on hold. And now he's in all this legal litigation between the city and the county, and they're going back and forth and filing bankruptcy. So it's tough. I don't know if there's anything, any huge revelations that we talked about other than his vision being a little clearer, but I do believe if he could execute what he wanted to do, it would be huge for the city. And again, that's what I want to get across my interview, and I hope whatever it is, it gets us one step closer to having a rooftop bar. I don't care who's the one who accomplishes it. I just want to be the one up there drinking.
I think my challenge, though, I mean, again, 5 year, people use the 5 year figure, right? He bought it for a dollar. He had to assume the $500,000.
That was a revelation. Yeah. He did not buy it for a dollar.
No, but you had the $500,000 of back taxes, which he has not paid yet.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
And again, have worked with developers, have worked with projects. You unveil your what you're going to do. You talk about the resources you have. He hasn't really done that. He said, oh, I'll bring some people through years ago. I'll bring some people through, at least take a look at this. It's my idea. But we never saw actual plans, but you saw a rendering of what he wanted to do there, right?
Yeah, he showed a rendering of it.
Yeah. But
it was a rendering.
A rendering, not a plan. So you've had 5 years. Where's the plan? Where's the beef? That's my feeling with it.
Yeah, Taylor. I have a two-prong approach here. So I have two issues. One is with people who have really, really negative things to say about Evan Blum when our local media really hasn't given him a fair shake to explain his situation. And the comments are coming from pretty everyday people. So I think once they get an opportunity to hear from Evan for the longest they've ever heard from him directly, they're going to have the ability to form their own opinions. So I feel like I feel really proud that we're able to give people that opportunity. And then my second issue here is with Mr. Blum. He's a demo guy. He tears buildings apart. He takes down facades. He takes out the toilets. He takes out the bathtubs. He takes out Epstein chandeliers, and he stores them, and then he distributes them. So he doesn't really build anything. If he were to team up with the right developers, maybe they're local, maybe they're not, love it to be local, I think you could turn that building into what Jack said, a true destination.
I do believe an artistic place is the best use. If you don't know, it's literally has 6-foot walls, minimal windows. Like, it's really without heavy, heavy construction and demolition of the building itself. You can't do much with it as is. And lost my train of thought.
I just think like people that are like, well, why hasn't he done anything? Like, why do you think he would own the building if he didn't want to do anything with it? I think I said that last week, but like, so what? Of course, if it didn't matter to him, he would give it up. So obviously he has an idea. Like, my thing, and I've said this, is like, this building isn't hurting anybody. I'm sorry that it's not good to look at. I mean, nothing, no apartment building would be good to look at until the Amtrak thing and it fell on the train, fine. But that was 2 weeks ago. This issue's been going on for years. So honestly, no matter what you do with that building, it's still not going to look good unless you hire an artist and slap some flowers and some purple paint on it. So I just think the entire issue citywide is a little bit blown out of proportion. It benefits us because we have a storyline and now we're helping uncover it, which I love and I think is so cool because, yeah, nobody has given this guy the time of day. But at the end of the day, it's a big building. It's going to be another big building. So people care seemingly more about what the outside of it is than what the inside is because they just don't want to look at it on the fucking highway. You're on a fucking highway.
I found my train of thought. I proposed to him, why don't you team up with Redburn? Redburn is a company who bid along with Columbia. And I'm like, they have a proven record of doing things. Yep. You clearly have a great vision. What if you guys work together? And he shot it down. Because all in all, he is trying to build his legacy. He wants it to be his building that he's remembered for centuries to come.
Yeah, he'll be remembered for it, all right. I mean, but the fact, though, yeah, I have no problem with the building, except that when it interrupts interstate commerce with Amtrak.
Right, but that was a week ago. Yeah, like, that was two weeks ago.
It could have been worse. What if the train was going by? That thing could have fallen down on a train.
Again, I don't think he's deliberately watching a building deteriorate just for the shits and giggles of it.
I get that. But again, if you're going to be an absentee landlord living in New York City, I mean, this is what happens in Midtown Albany with properties. If they go by the wayside, they get destroyed, all of that. If you're going to take ownership, Take ownership.
I mean, he's got looks to kill. So yeah. What do you give the guy a fucking break?
I know.
And some more context. This didn't make the final interview, but he's kind of got a tragic story. And when I read about it in the Times Union, it vilified him. It said he was charged
criminally. Good thing this is going out before September 1st.
It's their reporting. It's just they did a brief review of the fact he was criminally charged in the year 2000 for a very similar situation of an unsafe building that had to be demolished. And people use that against him, being like, oh, he's neglectful, this and that. But what happened there? I read a Forbes article of the incident. He had his main warehouse in New York City, which he had run for 20 or 30 years at that point, had his life's work of antiques. It was literally called Irreplaceable Artifacts. All these high-class artifacts from all around the world in this giant warehouse where he kept everything he had worked for. When he was out on business, because all of his buildings are clearly antique as well. That's his whole MO. The warehouse we went to was the last remaining wooden storage unit that looked like a horse stable. But when he was out on business with this main warehouse, not the one we visited, part of the wall collapsed. And New York City and Mayor Rudy Giuliani, at that point, tore down the building without even talking to him, just because they deemed it like they could have here.
An emergency demo. That's
they right. yeah. deemed it a threat to the city, and they destroyed everything he had worked for decades. And that was tragic to him because, I mean, that's his life work. Gone. You know, they didn't consult him. They didn't ask him. And so now he's painted in this way, but that's not really the case. It could have been anything that made that happen. He's just an antique dude in doing his antique stuff. But I hope it's not the same situation here.
I would hope.
It was a very interesting interview, though. Me and Jonah went down. He had a guy there, kind of like his Jonah, who recorded me the entire time. They had a mic on me the whole time, just because they didn't know what I was up to, but they trusted Two Buttons Deep to come down and tell a fair story to a bigger audience. They knew he's not talking to any local media right now because he knows better. And he gave us a shot, and I respected that. And I think what we put together is honest, fair, and hopefully it will move the needle. But it was just, we were there, and it was kind of a generational clash of creatives. Like, they're, you know, 50s, 60s, and we're 20s. And, like, they couldn't wrap their mind around the fact we did our whole thing on our iPhones. They had, like, this bulky audio recording equipment. And it was just, it was kind of fascinating. It was heavy. It was intense. He's charming. It was very full. It took me multiple days to process what I saw. And I hope people get an ounce of that out of the video I produce.
What do you think he thought of you? Like, how, if you're in his shoes right now and you guys leave his warehouse, you guys said you're sitting there in silence for a couple hours trying to figure out what just happened. What do you think his reaction was?
You know, the same thing happened that happens with a lot of our shoots, where we kind of came in guns blazing. We were filming from the top because we wanted to do behind the buttons video. And this happens a lot when we do an interview with somebody. And then when it's done, we kind of relax and go Two Buttons Deep. And then we start talking. We had the best conversation at the end. And we left with a high and really good remarks about him because of that final conversation that happened off camera. And I'm like, I said it to him. He just said things so much better to me after. I'm like, this is what you got to be saying to people.
Right.
Like, if he just said, sucks, I'm trying to build a new mass mocha, people would get it. So that's kind of what I've taken to it. But he's, you know, he just tried to explain it so elaborately that I don't think he's going to be favored well in the interview. I chopped it up. I think I did it fair. I could have painted him horribly. I could have painted him well. But overall, I think they were impressed with us. He probably thinks I'm kind of a dick. I was definitely had a chip on my shoulder, but I'm a gonzo journalist. That's what I was doing.
There you go. And so this will be part of 10 Questions Deep.
Yes.
It's going to drop on Friday.
Yes.
Let's do an ad read for Martin Harding and Mazzotti.
There we go.
We're
well,
a little
that's coming
low
up
on the ads.
That's
okay.
Coming up next.
We're almost there.
Let's keep it going.
So, but you were on GNA as well, right?
Yeah, talk to them. Everybody's curious about this story. People, the first thing I said to Brian, we talk about this all the time. I'm like, what we are doing at Two Buttons Deep is what the radio was doing in the 80s and the 90s, because they were out in the community and they had a pulse on what was going on. But now they've just put these DJs in literal cubes with no windows, and they expect them to be creative and funny, and it's they're so boxed up. And I said that, they were like, we wish we could be doing this. I'm like, well, if you guys weren't stuck in a studio, you probably would. But I think people are proud of what we're doing. I think a lot of people are like, this is taking you guys to the next level.
Oh, 100%. I got a lot of texts.
I truly think it is. This is the stuff I've grown up wanting to do, just hopping on a train, going down Gonzo style, accomplishing something and turning it into something that in 5 years I want to be proud of.
Which is funny, because I think as a company, that's something that we will have to think of, because sometimes when it benefits us to say we're not journalists, we say we're not journalists because that's what people call us a lot. And we say, no, we're entertainment, we're this and that. But really, like what you just did, that's a journalistic endeavor, right? So I think where we will draw criticism is well, you're towing that line. You're not telling us, because when we do a police video, we say, well, we're not the news. We're not, you know. Right, but then when we do a video like this, we're Gonzo journalists and we're, you know, vigilante style and this and that. And, you know, we don't have to be one thing, right? But I do think maybe, you know, just like any company, I think eventually maybe there's an arm, an account that is, you know, investigative report, as we call it. Because people do, on the other end, the receiving end, do deserve to know what we think is journalism and what we think isn't, and advertisers as well.
I do think this video is going to finally change the perspective and potential of 10 Questions Deep, which is a series we've been doing for 4 years, probably. Started off just straight up sit-down interviews with a personality. And then we switched to point of view style. I was inspired by the 78 Questions with Vogue. And, you know, because as a student of late night, they always say your job is to make the guest look as good as possible.
That's right.
Yep.
And kind of in a journalism sense with the Times Union, you know, a reporter is not a part of the story. So I think we're finally channeling both of those worlds of highlighting just the subject, giving them all the limelight they can get, while also kind of working in our personality and editing style so it's easily consumable on social media, which is our goal with everything. So this is our first, like, non-fluff 10 Questions Deep. It's usually, like, you know, fun, cute stories. Yep. This is kind of intense. And I think it's going to build a good future for Two Buttons Deep in terms of getting actual stories and legitimate interviews in our own special way.
Yeah. And that will bring so much value to the people, which is really the goal with anything that we do. So
what do you think, Drew?
I just want to give my props. It was like, I know Jack is tall, lanky, wears short shorts and boat shoes.
Keep going.
But he, you know, he does real boss moves, and that was a big one. Jonah linked that up, and they hopped on the Amtrak, and they made it down there with. They didn't even know if they were gonna really get the interview, but they still booked the ticket. Like, it's real. You gotta make the moves. You know what I mean? And like, those are the things that get. It's gonna get Albany going. That's a big video. I'm super hyped on it. I'm hyped to just even know you, to know that person, because honestly, when I saw it, I'm like, Jeffrey Epstein? So now I feel like I know Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
So
we did. We basically did. Did you bring me? Wait, where's your bat? You brought me the chandelier, right?
That's a big you gem.
And
that's
Evan's number for my mom.
Could you imagine?
Is he single?
Evan Bloom.
Did he have a ring on?
I didn't check.
Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a great match for my mom, Senior Buttonista.
I'm gonna send him a thank you when the interview drops, and I'll drop that as a P.S.
P.S. We have a single woman here in the Capital Region. Wow. She loves to travel. She loves antique art. She'll pull your hair. You would have
died if you were there. The stuff in his warehouse was truly remarkable.
I probably would have stayed.
I think you would have stayed. Yeah. Hung out on the front porch with those guys.
There you go.
Well, that too.
Martin Harding Mazzotti.
The heavy hitters do it again.
The heavy hitters.
We took our first visit to their HQ. We've never been anywhere.
Yeah.
We've been working with them for
a year.
A little over a year. Yeah. But it was kind of still pandemic times when we met. I think we got lunch at Brown's. And then it's really just been virtual. And this was the first time we got to go see where the heavy hitters do their heavy hitting.
Yeah.
And it was a very cool office. They have a fake boardroom.
Courtroom.
They have a fake courtroom set up so you can, like, they can practice their litigation. And it's also where they film their commercials with, you know, the judge table behind them. But the most notable part was they had a super fan in the office who they introduced the Buttonista to.
Yeah, it was wild. Well, I thought you were going to say the merch shop. So they have a legitimate.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay, so we'll get to that later. So at the end of the meeting, we're doing this tour. And we're like all awestruck. I actually wanted to meet Paul, who's the kind of also handsome one. I'm into older men. It's fine. Whatever. He's in the commercials. And I was really hoping that he would be there because I thought we could have some fun banter or whatever. But he wasn't there. But then we continued the tour. And the social media girl was like, we have someone here that like loves you and would love to meet you. And I'm like, all right. So we go back to the cubicle and she's like, her name's Diane. And we get there and it's just like Diane. She's got like her little short haircut and she's sitting there typing away. And at first we walk over and it was just so awkward. Jack's filming and she kind of, you know, she's like, oh, I have someone to show you, Diane. And she kind of looks at me and Jack like, okay, like you have someone to show me. And then all of a sudden you could just watch her process. She threw her hands over her mouth like Oprah just walked in. And she was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She almost fell over. I swear to God. She hugged me three times. She had a Buttonista sticker on her desk that she keeps there every single day. She's like, I love you so much. I can't believe you're here. My daughter, she watches your show. She went to my live show. So we had this excellent embrace. It was just so pure that we could simply make somebody's day just by being there. It was such a surprise sneak attack. He got it all on camera. I think it's probably too much of a flex to actually post it, but it was just so cute. She was so happy. She wants to come to my live show on September 20th at June 4th. Oh, somewhere. You can edit that out. It's somewhere. It's in the Capital Region.
Well,
if you know, you know.
If you didn't know, now you do know.
She's coming to my live show, and she's going to meet Senior Buttonista. But, yeah, I did not expect that we would have, like, diehard fans working the desk at Martin Harding and Mazzotti HQ. But guess what? We do.
They also, yeah, they also have, which I would love if we ever have a headquarters to
How
have
are you
this.
Not wearing it?
Since it was a heavier episode, I didn't think it would be the best time to rep their merch. But they have a merch store. And
literally.
I'm like, damn, like, who's coming in and buying Martin Harding and Mazzotti merch? But they're like, no, it's all free. Like, our clients.
Oh, they did say it was free? Because Jack took a heavy, heaping of Martin Harding and Mazzotti merch.
I got the whole crew decked out in Martin Harding and Mazzotti. They had
socks,
golf shirts.
They had shorts.
And it's just for when you're a client of Martin Harding and Mazzotti and you have a good experience.
And you hurt your body and all you can wear is sweatpants. It's all that hit me right now.
It's just, you know.
I did not know. It was because Jack was literally loading up. Like, he had so much merch. I'm starting to get embarrassed. I'm like, I know they pay us a lot, but the girl's like, do you need a bag? And he's like, oh, I'd love a bag.
Like, yeah, got bags? They're like, we got bags. Yeah, they got phone chargers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's like, take the phone. I'm like, we took enough.
Grill spatulas. They were decked out.
Wait, spatula?
Yeah, with branded.
Scented candles that smell like Paul Harding.
Can you take me, man? I got to check this out, man.
You're going to hurt your body with this sherbet contest, so probably.
It was not. I did not know it was free. It makes me feel better.
I clarified many times. I'm like, this is for our whole team. This isn't all for me.
I'm like, where do we cash out? Like, we're gonna basically even out after that. We're going to break even from the Martin Harding Rosati shopping trip. Umbrella, too, is pouring.
Ooh. Unfortunately, they did not have the heavy hitters there, but still on our bucket list to meet them. And
for sure.
Very cool.
We're going to be heavy hitting into the future. So shout out to
1-800-LAW-1010.
Post of the week.
Oh, gee, we're still going?
We're still going.
Let's go.
Post of the week presented by Melio Delivery, the Capital Region's most loved delivery service. Make it Melio. So we had a post. Poor little water slide world.
You know, it's funny. I was in, we use like editing, you know, Canva or whatever. So I'm in Canva doing the giveaway for the plant hatch in Clifton Park. So I'm working in it. I'm doing my thing. I'm really not good at that stuff. So it's taking me a while. And I like switch back over to like the upload section where it shows all the content that's been uploaded. And all of a sudden I see this Shaq crying meme. And I'm like, what else is going on in Two Buttons Deep World right now? Because we had just met, we knew what we were doing. And I see that and I'm like, what? I'm like, literally like, our life is so weird. I just shrug my shoulders and I go back to my editing and my fucking plant giveaway.
Yeah, Waterside World is officially being demolished for
damn shame,
quote unquote, fair-priced housing.
Damn shame
in Lake George.
Damn shame.
They want year-round heads and beds. I think that's an ambitious goal, but it's a it's an upstate icon. It's gonna be gone forever, which is sad. But I've developed an idea that I think we got to execute.
What's that?
I want to be the last person in the world to ride a slide at Waterslide World.
Okay, so this was my question. So is Waterslide World active?
No.
It's been closed for 4 years.
Oh, so how could you ride it then?
I'd have to illegally get in.
Okay, because Zoom Flume is still active.
Zoom Flume.
We don't talk about Zoom Flume.
Why?
It's just, that's the Kmart.
Wait, really?
That is the Kmart Waterslide World.
Zoom Flume still has their doors open, excuse you.
And Waterslide World doesn't.
So I would say Zoom Flume came out on top, but I was wondering where this was going because I was going to say I know one is still active, and I'm pretty sure it's Zoom Flume. But then I'm like,
is it? Theirs too.
It's Waterslide World's a true love story. Gary and Dawn were the owners. Gary was the guy who ran it. It was his heart and soul. They said he did something new every year to make it better, and then he died. And Dawn said, "I'm not going to reopen this without Gary here."
Yeah.
And she's a true ride or die. So they closed the door 2018. Sold it to someone who is apparently very greedy and not a great landlord. And I just want to get in there, and I think I'm going to ride the Corona scooter down a slide.
All right, well, that's dangerous. I would send Drew up there with some buckets of water so you can at least have a water slide. But unfortunately, I heard that Evan Bloom took the slide, and he's using it to repurpose as an ancient artifact. Unfortunately.
There we go. Maybe a Central Warehouse becomes Central Water Park.
Water slide world.
Central Water slide world.
Central Water slide world. I like that.
That's the way we got to do
it. That's a great idea.
Something smells really good.
12 stories. Just do it on the exterior. You slide off the top, down the side of it.
Wild you bet.
Wild you bet.
Wild
can you imagine? Someone has to take this
These
idea.
Are the great ideas that come through the show.
I love it.
Wild you bet.
Hopefully we can execute this one like we did the Miller Lite Jockey.
I love it. That's all we have for Behind the Buttons. We will see you next week.